I tell you, we were, as many alluded to, we were fasting this past week and seeking the face of God. And I've told many that food and the desire to eat is the greatest desire our flesh has. It's the greatest desire our flesh has. No matter what other desires you may have, wanting to eat is your greatest desire. And what fasting does, it tells your body you're not going to get what you desire today. And so with the ability to deny your flesh what it desires, you bring your flesh into subjection. Paul said in one version, I beat my body. Another one said, I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection. The implication of bringing is it does not want to come on its own. It does not want to act right on its own, and so you must bring it into subjection. Amen? Amen. And so as we get into Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to go through this morning. Recognize you will have to bring this flesh into subjection, because some of the things I'm going to say today, your flesh is not going to like it. This is like a pre-warning. You're not going to like everything I'm going to say today. All right. All right. And so we're going to look at walking in love. Look at walking in light. Look at walking in wisdom. And then we're going to look at marriage and the connection between marriage and Christ and his church. Are you ready? Let me read Ephesians 5, 1 through 7. It says there, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Do not be partakers with them. It says here, therefore, be imitators of God. This imitator is a follower. Everyone say follower. This year of 2020, we're going to do a much better job in discipling and becoming disciples. Not just believers, not just born again, but actually disciples of Jesus who will follow him. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, listen, guys, if you're not willing to turn your back on this one, or turn your back on this one, and follow me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you're not willing to put me first, you're not ready for it. This one cat said, well, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus said, I thought it was like hard. He said, listen, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. And there's a requirement that Christ has put in on us to be his disciples. Believers are great, but he's looking for disciples. Amen? And so it says, be imitators of God. This imitator, again, is a follower. Imitators of God as dear children. As your children observe you in your daily walk, they begin to imitate you. They even walk like you. They may grab your fork, their fork, like you grab your fork. They may have little comments. You know, when you say, oh, man, you'll turn around, next thing you know, your son will say, oh, man, they imitate you. And so what the word is saying, we have to imitate God like dear children and walk in love. Tell your neighbor, walk in love. We discussed a few weeks ago about telling the truth in love, meaning this. We're called to tell the truth, but we can choose how to tell it, meaning this. I can tell you the truth in love. I don't have to blast you out. I don't have to say it in front of everybody and their mama. I can pull you aside and say, hey, brother, you was wrong. Hey, sister, you know what you said? That was wrong. We have to tell the truth, but we have to tell it in love. And sometimes we tell the truth, but man, it's not in love. It's the truth, but it's not in love. And so the Bible here is saying, listen, we have to walk in love. When we walk in love, we're not going to give in to our flesh and allow our flesh to control us. So it says here in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let not be named among you as fitting for saints. It's funny how they will he combined these two together, because you know we're always talking about the sexual sin, right? But also, if I covet, meaning the covet is this, I don't just want what you want, what you have, want something like you have. I want what you have, and so I don't want just that a car like what you have. I want you not to have it. And I want it. Huh? That husband that you got? I just don't want a husband like your husband. I want your husband. Glory to God. It says, these type of attitudes and actions are not fitting for saints. And when you walk in love, you do not operate in these arenas. For it says in verse 5, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ in God. And it says, the next verse is, let no one deceive you. So let me break this down. See, I don't care what the social norms are. I take the social norms and I line them up against what the Word of God says. And the social norms goes against what the Word of God says, then I choose to follow the Word of God. All right? And listen, I don't care. It doesn't make a difference. We can use. Okay, we'll just use it. We could be shacking up. Amen. Old folks call it shacking up. And the social norms today is it's okay, right? Because everyone's doing it. We are blasted by TV. That is the norm, right? That's the norm, all right? So I'm having sex, but I'm having sex with that person that's not my wife or my husband. Those are the social norms. But when I line it up against the Word of God, I see that the Word of God says, no, right? Don't do it. Amen? And so I have to choose who I'm going to believe or follow, the social norms or the Word of God. Now watch this. It says, let no one deceive you, because there'll be people who will tell you it's okay. It's everyone. It's all right. I mean, because, you know, marriages are falling apart anyway. And I wanna, you know, test the vehicle. Before I buy it. Because my love for God supersedes my own desire to fulfill my flesh, I'm going to choose to do it God's way because I'm walking in love. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Now, these are basic principles to many of us, but to the world, they're not. And we are, because we carry the presence of God with us, we are to display these principles wherever we go. Amen? And so we walk in love, we tell the truth, we don't put any people on blast and tell them this, that, and the other. We just live a life that pleases God, and they will come and ask you, why do you do it this way? Why do you do it this way? And we say, because I love God, and this is what God's word says. Because I'm choosing to walk in love. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
It says here, Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Don't take part in that. Even though it is the social norm for today, do not take part in that. Next set is walk in love, walk in light. Verse 8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. As I was going through this text here, it said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What it did not say, not have any fellowship with the people. It didn't say disengage from the people. Do not participate with the works. We are called to engage those in the world. And so if I'm going to disengage from them, there's no way I can share with them what truth is. There's no way they can see what light is. And so I cannot participate in the unfruitful works, but I must engage them who are doing the unfruitful works, because I want to share the light of Christ with them. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's not that I'm better than you and I can't. No. It's not that. It's I'm not going to participate in that, but I love you. I love you enough to demonstrate you what light is. And I want you to be around me so you can see the difference between light and darkness. Because otherwise, yes. And so I was sharing with someone the other day that there's a person, and I was saying, well, you're the only light they may see, right? And so we cannot disengage from them, all right? Because if you disengage from them, how will they know what light looks like? Because they are surrounded by darkness. And you can be in darkness for so long, you get accustomed to the darkness. Amen? You can be in your house for so long walking in the dark, you can know where everything is at, right? You can walk around, you're accustomed to it. And so you can be accustomed to walking in the dark so long, it becomes normal to you until someone shines light into your situation. And so what we are the light. We come into their life, their situation, and we bring the light, and they say, oh, I've been walking in darkness? Oh, I didn't know that. Because we bring the light. You and I, we're the light of the world. We're the light. If we're not allowing our light to shine, they are walking in darkness. And because I love Christ and Christ created them, I love them so much, I'm willing to infiltrate their arena and demonstrate light to them. Yes. Yes. For it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Have you ever been sitting with your family, watching television, and something comes on that makes you so uncomfortable? And sometimes you're, I don't know, I've been there just with my wife, let alone my children. It just, In my mind, I'm thinking, is he seeing what I'm seeing? Is he thinking what I'm thinking? And you know, you try to grab the remote to change it. You know what I'm saying? Some things are just so shameful. But what the world is trying to do is trying to hit you so often and hard with these messages that it becomes normal, right? And you no longer feel anything, right? So if you're old like me, 40 years ago, right? If they were to play commercials today, back 40 years ago, you're like, whoa, this is crazy, right? Yeah. But they played it for the past 40 years so much, you become accustomed to it, right? And it no longer offends you. It's so shameful, like, oh my goodness. But we are the light. And we are to shine our light so that men may see our good works and glorify Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. So you are light, you carry the light, right? You carry the light with you everywhere you go. Verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. When I look at this verse here, 15, I think about circumference. And I think about this area around a circle. And I think about walking the entire circle around a situation before I make a decision. When I think of circumspectly and walking that way, I think about walking around the entirety of the situation before I make a decision. It says, the opposite is a fool, which means the fool does not walk around the entirety of the situation first. He sees one side of the situation, makes the decision. Amen? But one of his wise looks at every side of it first and then makes a decision. I've told many of you this before. Early on in our marriage, I'd made foolish financial decisions, you know, because I walked as a fool and I did not look at every side of it. I just saw something and, oh, man, yes. I remember we bought our first house in Vallejo, and right at that time, they were just coming out with satellite TVs, satellite dishes, right? And these dishes were not like the DirecTV dishes now. These are like dishes like you got put on the deck in the backyard, right? They're like 6-7 feet, you know, across, right? And I didn't understand, or I didn't take the time. I was not circumspect in my decision making, so I only looked at one side of it. And I thought, oh yeah, we're gonna buy that. And Ola being, and we'll get into this later. She said, well, you know, you're the man. Go ahead and make this decision. It was a foolish decision, and then that wasn't the end of it. And I'm talking about walking circumspectly, right? And then during that same time was we started with solar panels. Don't laugh at me, too bad. And so, but these solar panels were solar panels to heat up your water. Go knock out your gas bill for water. You put these panels on the roof where there are panels, and you'd run your y'all about to laugh at me, huh? You'd run your hot water pipes, and the sun would hit the panels and heat up the water and send it back down to your hot water heater. That was just the newest thing. Everybody's going to get it. You're going to be on the front end, Mr. Green. What? Really? Oh, yeah. I didn't understand verse 16. I didn't walk in it. says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as wise. It says, redeeming the time. Not redeeming time, it said redeeming the time. There are two words that the Greeks often use for time. And one meant like chronology time. One was like second after second, minute after minute, day after day, right? That time. The other time was a particular moment in time. And this time right here that Paul is mentioning is the particular moment in time. And what he's saying is you got to seize the opportunity that you're given. You have to redeem. You have to seize the opportune time through your 24 hours. All right. There's an opportune time in the chronology of time for you to seize a particular moment in time to do what God has called you to do. Are you listening to me? And so the other day, I went to Costco, and I'd been fasting, right? And when you fast, you feel like you could just on top of the world spiritually, right? You, man, I could just lay hands on the sick, and they all gonna recover. So I go into Costco, and I'm looking for a guy, my man, who's gonna be bent over. I don't know why that's in my mind, but I'm gonna lay hands on a person who's gonna be bent over. Right, I know I'm going to find him in Costco, and I'm looking around. And I don't see him, and so I'm just minding my business now, just looking at a book, and someone bumps into me out of the blue, and we get into a conversation, and begins to dump on me about what he's going through. And the Lord says to me, "That's the one right there." Oh, that's the. The reason I say that is I had to redeem the time, the opportune time, the opportunity, and to have to make good use of the time. So, of course, we there in Costco, and I tell you, I've been fasting, so I'm full. I'm full. I'm just, yeah, Lord. And I'm thinking in my mind, because my spirit is like praying, but my mind is thinking about folks looking at us, I wonder, right now. In Costco, but I'm steadily praying because I want to redeem the time, because I don't know if I'm ever going to get that opportunity again, right? And so I encourage you that when you go out into the community, because you are the light, right, and you're walking in love, right, to redeem the time. Take advantage of the opportunity, because there are men and women who are hurting at stores, at gas stations, on your job, who need to experience the presence of God, which you carry. And you need to make sure that you redeem the time, take advantage of the opportunity. Don't let it slip by, because it may never come to you again. And so you must redeem the time. You must walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time. Because you don't know how much time is left for them or for you. And God placed you at Safeway in aisle 15 so you can meet this other brother who's going through horrendous situations, so you can lay hands on him and pray the prayer of faith over him, and deliverance and breakthrough happens there in Safeway. Amen. Amen. You are the light. You walk in love. You walk in wisdom. You seize the opportunity. Hallelujah. And don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. This comparison is like when you're drunk. It's like you're not in control, so to speak. Don't even say amen. I don't want people to know that you know what it feels like to be drunk. Just listen. But that's what it feels like. Amen.
But it says the opposite is be filled with the Spirit. Meaning this, I want the Spirit to control my every move. What I say and how I say things. I want to be controlled by the Spirit. Don't be controlled by wine, but be controlled by the Spirit. Amen? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I didn't understand it as a young boy. And my mother would be on the phone talking with some of her prayer partners. And they would be singing together and praising the Lord together on the phone. And what they were doing, they were building each other up. They were in this community. And I want you to know, what this is right here, this is community. And we are to sing to each other in songs and psalms and hymns and build each other up. Amen? Amen. That's how he wants us to walk as wise men and women. Giving thanks always to God, to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Everyone say submit.
Submit.
Submit. Last part here is verse 22. You ready? All right, here we go. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Here we go. This wives submit to your own husbands. It's about divine order. Everyone say divine order.
Divine order.
This is God's order for the home. Now, this did not say women subject themselves to men. All right, it didn't say that. It says, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands, all right? And so we're in the workforce or whatever. It doesn't mean that a man has to be over a woman in every scenario. It didn't say that, all right? It's talking about in the home life to the wife to submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And again, it's about divine order. This is the order that God has set up. All right, this is God's order. So I got issues with the order. I got to deal with God. And I was preparing this, and I was saying the part where the wives submit to the husbands and husbands love the wives. If you're not ready to handle this, don't get married. Right? It's simple. That if you're not ready to handle this, let me back up. Verse 1 through 8 or 7, you got to walk in love. Right? Verses 8 through 14, you got to walk in light. All right, you got to walk in light. In the verses, I think 15 through 21, then I've got to walk in wisdom. And Paul was building this up here that you got to walk in love, you got to walk in light, you got to walk in wisdom, because here you got to submit. Now, this submission, and it's two words, you know this, but I'll share it again. It's sub and mission. All right, sub and mission. All right, the husband's job is to what? Identify what the mission is. Amen? Amen? So I gave an example, and I'll give it again. We went on vacation last year. What my mission was to lay out what we're going to do. We're going to travel from California to here this day. We're going to be here in this day. We're going to be here this day. Then I gave that information to Ola. I said, this is the plan. He said, okay. So she submitted to that mission. And I've said this so often. Guys, it's of vital importance that we give the narrative of what the mission is. All right, what is the mission of the home? What is God wanting to do in our family this year in 2020? What does he want us to focus on?
where we're going to go on a vacation. What is the mission? And so you seek the Lord's face. I'm talking about husbands right now. You seek the Lord's face to find out, God, what do you want my family to do this year? And so you're up early, you're up late, seeking the face of God, find out what God wants to happen in your life, in your family's life. God shares with you what he wants you to do. Then you run and you tell your wife, listen, I sense the Lord saying for us to do this. We're going to give this amount this year. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. We're going to do this. So I did explain to her what the mission is. She says, okay, I'm going to submit to that. But without any mission, listen to me, without any mission, there's nothing to sub to. So when the mission is clearly communicated, then wives, it is your duty in God's order to submit to the mission. Because you made a decision, I'm going to marry that man. And so I'm submitting to the mission. And I said before, sometimes I'd been way off on what I thought the mission was. Well, let me back up. Let me clarify that. Let me say this. No, that's not right. There are years I didn't seek the Lord's face to find out what the mission was. I create my own mission. I want to do this. I want to do that. And whether you may not know this, but Ola has this gifting from God to submit to me as the husband. She's very quiet. Don't take her quietness for Don't get fooled and think because he's quiet. I think I told the church some years ago, we're raising four kids, and our oldest daughter, you know, she's about 13 or 14. She thought, you know, she was all that. And we out in the garage, and next thing I know, Ola and her, WWF. Ola had her on the ground giving her the what for? Huh. Yeah. That's how we did it in our house. I don't know about y'all. Y'all house is all calm and cool and peaceful. Well, when we was raising kids, we had WWF some days. Well, right there in the garage, she let her know who the mama was. And I'm like, all right, girl, go do your thing. Let her know who's the mama. But there are some years I didn't see God's face for what the mission was. I was going on my own little thing, but yet she was submissive enough to follow after that. Figure, you know what? I'm following you. You got to figure it out. If you mess up, that's on you. And every time I messed up, and they were often, she didn't give me that one piece of advice. I guess I might say, you better figure it out. Because these babies you got to eat. I don't know what you're going to do, but you better figure it out. And so I have to figure it out. But she is very submissive. She understood what this verse was saying here. Listen to your own husbands as to the Lord. Again, this is divine order. This is not about intelligence. All right? Because she's much smarter than I am. All right? She's much smarter than I am. It's not about intelligence. It's about order. It's about God's order. And so we get in God's or divine order. And so the wife may be smart and may have more better giftings, more talents, but she takes all of those and she says, because I walk in love, because I'm walking in light, because I walk in wisdom, I'm going to follow God's divine order. If you're not able to walk in light or in love or in wisdom, you can't do this. You cannot do this, all right? But when you walk in light, you walk in love, you walk in wisdom, then you can get in divine order.
even though it may go against your flesh, you, because her submission is really to the Lord and less to me, right? It's to his divine order that she's submitting to. Because sometimes I will just stupid, right? So watch this. Watch this. Husbands, love your wives. This meaning this. I'm going to always put her first. And I'm strong enough as a person to put her first and not have to build myself up thinking that I'm better than her. She's always going to be first. And I demonstrate it to her, but I also demonstrate it to my kids. Because I want my sons to see how a husband treats a wife, right? I want my daughters to clearly see what the expectation is of a husband. Amen? And it's my duty to demonstrate that to both my sons and my daughters. They need to know how a wife is treated. And so it's my job to do that. So I do that. And I love her as myself, my own flesh, and I do for her because I love her. And I'm living this thing out between Christ and the church. And there are times, and I said it last Sunday, there are times when I feel like she's in the wrong. Whether she is or not, I don't know. Sometimes she's not, and I'm just off. But it's still my duty to love her. And it's still my duty to, again, when we got issues, is to initiate the restoration, right? Because that was Christ did for us. He initiated the restoration. And so husbands, love your wives. And this comparison right here, just as Christ also loved the church, meaning this, Christ gave everything. Huh? He stepped out of a place of comfort and gave himself for the church. And so my job is to step out of my comfort, right, and give my life for her. And so we've got some little things we go by at the house and what our job, my job, her job is. So her job is she's going to always answer the phone. I know it sounds stupid, but my job is to always answer the door. So I'm going to say, okay, Ola, the phone rings. I just look at it. That ain't my job. Right. But the doorbell rings. I don't care where I'm at in the house. I make my way down to the door because that's my job, because I'm supposed to be the first person they see when they come to the house. This manly, godly presence. Are you following me? Because I love her. I don't want her facing that at the door. When I do marital counseling, I tell people, we have a scenario, you midnight, and the doorbell rings. Who's getting out the bed? That man better say me. If he don't, we got a problem. Amen? And so, verse 28, so husbands are to love their own wives as their own bodies. All right. So, verse 31, I know we got to close. Verse 31 says this. I want to harp on this, too, because some of you people may have kids. You're going to be married soon. And I want to say this to moms, especially, who have sons. You're going to be married soon. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So let me say this. Moms, if you have raised a son who's going to be married, all right, you have to let him go, all right, so that he can then focus his attention on his wife, right? I've seen too many cases where mom tries to infiltrate
I'll even use the word manipulate the situation, right? To try to hold on to that boy. I'm saying, Mom, you're wrong. And son, let me tell you this. If you're thinking about getting married and you love your parents, but if you're making a decision to get married, your priority has to change from parentals to your spouse. And it's funny, it never mentioned here about wives leaving. Because there's something about a son leaving. That you gotta leave and you gotta cleave to your new wife. Otherwise, there's gonna be chaos. Everyone say chaos. Don't raise your hand. Just think about it. Have you ever encountered any chaos because of this? Don't raise your hand. But the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. And nevertheless, let each one of you in particular shall have his own wife. He's speaking to this man right now. Own wife is himself. And watch this. It's the last verse here of chapter 5. It says, And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Even in my foolishness, Ola never disrespected me as the head of the home. I don't know what she was thinking in her head, but she never communicated that verbally to me. And I'm so appreciative of it, because at those moments, after making huge mistakes, I was so vulnerable that any word of criticism from her would have crushed me. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And wives, you have the ability with your words to build him up where he feels like he can conquer the world. Or you can take those words and you can crush him where he becomes this passive, I don't care with the remote, hand me a beer type of man. You can build him up or you can tear him down. You can decide to walk in love, walk in the light, walk in wisdom, right? Which is built. And what she did, she built me up and gave me the confidence that I needed to figure out how we're going to get out of this mess that I created, right? And she never, again, never said a word of criticism to me. If you were to ask her, her answer would probably be this, and I'm sure it is, every mistake I made, she ran to her prayer closet. And she sought the face of God. And she said, God, I don't know why you brought me to him. This man is crazy. You know what he just did? I'm sure her prayers were something like that. God, if you don't do something, woo, I got these four kids. I don't know what we're going to do. And the Lord heard her prayer. I know, because sometimes she wouldn't even say anything to me. But I sensed the Lord saying, you got to go apologize. And I'd muster up enough courage, and I'd go apologize to her. Fellas, have you ever had to apologize before? You really didn't want to, but you had to just apologize. You know, I'm wrong. I'm wrong, and I'm sorry. And she was gracious enough to accept my apology. Amen. So as Christ loved the church, he said that he gave himself for the church. He gave himself for all humanity, for them to be in right relationship with him. And I don't know where you stand today with your relationship with God. You may know him or know of him, but you really don't know him. There was one verse in the Bible that says, people will say, well, you know, when we cast out demons for you and we prophesy in your name. And this verse is a heavy verse. And Jesus made this comment, said, I never. And I analyzed the verse, and he didn't say, well, I knew you in the 70s, but then you walked away. Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from, I never knew you. I don't want anyone to be fooled into thinking that because I attend a church or I read my Bible periodically or anything. I could sing and with the team. I don't want you to be fooled, right, into thinking that because I do things means I know him. The way that you know him is this belief in your heart that he is the only way to the Father. Confessing that you are a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm lost without Jesus. Asking Jesus to come into your life as your Lord and Savior and submitting yourself to his Lordship. I'm yours. Here I am. I'm broken. I'm wounded. I'm messed up. But here I am. And the Bible says he'll save you. He'll save you. He'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll be his. Huh? You'll be his. And so I want you to stand to your feet, everyone here today. Again, I don't know your situation. I don't know who you are. All I know is Christ loves you. And he came and died on the cross just for you. And I don't care what your status is. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make it right today. You may have walked away from the Lord for some other reason. And you sense the Lord just pulling you today. I want to give you an opportunity. And Sister Velma, could you and some of your team come up and stand? Because I don't want you to be alone. If you choose today to take this offer and allow Jesus to be your Savior, I don't want you to be stand up here today alone. They will pray with you this prayer. Yeah, come on up. Come on, son. Come on. Come on. If you don't know Jesus, or if you've fallen away from the Lord, you say, man, yeah, Lord, I need to get back. Here's your opportunity. I want you to come to this altar now, right now. If you sense God tugging on your heart, if you sense him tugging on your heart, just come. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. We're here to pray with you. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy saying, no, not today. Come quickly. We will pray with you. We want you to be right with the Lord. We want you living for Jesus. We want you on fire for him. Hallelujah. Come. Yes, he's calling you. You sense a tug. You sense a tug from the Holy Spirit drawing you to this altar. I'll give you another minute. There may be some others who have sensed the pull of God. He's speaking to you. He's convincing you. He's calling you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's calling you. He's calling you. Here. Come. He's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. Don't fight it. Surrender to it. Surrender to it. Surrender to it. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you, team, for praying. While they're praying, I'm going to give the closing prayer. While they're praying, for you members, you know we have a meeting in about maybe 10 minutes we're going to start. And for you guests, thank you for coming here today. And even after I do this closing prayer, this team will still be here. If you want to get prayed for, they will pray for you. But let me pray and allow you to go, those who need to go. Father, I thank you for those men and women who are here today. I pray, God, that something that I've said, that you've said to me, oh God, would be ministry to their hearts. I pray, God, for those who really desired to come but just didn't come up forward, oh God, that you would do something special in their lives. God, I pray that you would continue to mold and shape us into the men and women you've designed us to be. And I thank you. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.